Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I'm Brandon Anyert.
And I am Aiden Wood. One second, I'm Googling something. Yeah, How much sleep do adults need?
She's trying to convince me that 6 hours that I get is not enough. And so she decided she was going to Google it because, I mean, you know, Google is a place to find all your... I'm sure somebody...
And everything on Google is accurate, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or WebMD or... But, I mean, 8 hours is what we're always taught, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're taught 8 hours. And actually, this website that I found from the internet, from sleepfoundation.org. It has a .org, so it's a reputable site.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. It says adults aged 26 to 64, sleep range is 7 to 9 hours is recommended.
So I'm about an hour too, not an hour too little.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no age range is 6 hours of sleep a night recommended. Brandon is insisting to me that 6 hours of sleep is the perfect amount to sleep, but 8 hours is too much.
I feel like nine is excessive. Sorry, my phone. I gotta mute my phone. It just went off. That's my friend who's messaging me.
Oh, here's the CDC. This is the CDC.
Okay, which is the Center for Disease Control, right?
The Center for Disease Control. This is an actual reputable source.
That is, I mean, as reputable as the government can be.
Yeah, I think the CDC is like the best branch of the best branch of government. That's ridiculous, but the best like government like organization.
I was just preempting it, just so that in case it doesn't agree with me, I can have something bad. You know, I can have some argument against it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, adults aged 18 to 60 years, 7 or more hours per night.
That's a large age range to span, like 18 to 64.
Yes, and they all should be getting 7 or more hours per night. For the record, it's like once you reach adulthood, you should be getting 7 or more hours per night. It's like newborn, 14 to 17 hours, infant, 12 to 16 hours, toddler, like 1 to 2 years old, 11 to 14 hours. And then once you get to adulthood, it's like stabilizes.
How about 65?
65 years or older is 7 to 8 hours.
Okay.
Okay, it's interesting. It's like adults aged 18 to 60 years should get 7 or more hours per night. Adults aged 61 to 64 years, that's like a five inclusive age range, should get 7 to 9 hours.
Okay.
And it says adults aged 65 years and older should get 7 to 8 hours, which feels like a very specific, like if you're 61 to 64, you can get 7 to 9 hours. That's great. But if you're age 65 or older, don't go above 8 hours, you imbecile.
Right. Because they're like, enjoy what is in front of you because you don't know when it could end.
Anyways, basically what I'm saying is you're wrong. Get more sleep.
What you're saying is I need to go to bed 1 hour earlier.
Yes, I'd say 1.5 hours so that you can get like a full sleep cycle and one more full sleep cycle in.
I'll think about that.
You will not.
I take everything you say to heart, Aiden. I know you're a very smart individual, and you only mean well. And how have you been doing, by the way?
Been doing fine.
That's great.
I've been getting a little bit more sleep, actually.
That's good. Sleep, and then sleep is, are you getting 7 to 9 hours?
No, I'm still probably getting about 6 hours, but I know it's bad. You're aiming to get 6 hours. I am getting 6 hours. I'm aiming for at least 7.
Today I got about 5 hours and 30 minutes. I can almost time it because I know when I went back to look at where I fell asleep during The Bachelor. Or The Bachelorette. That's where I fell asleep.
Have you been enjoying The Bachelorette? Sorry for everybody who's just listening to the podcast for the first time and is like, why are they going to talk about the environment?
Politics, the environment. The Bachelorette is phenomenal. The drama on it is unreal. I just started Love Island tonight. That's going to be so much better, I'm sure.
The look on your face is like so, you're like giddy right now.
I could get into. I need to do a reality TV show podcast as well, because God knows I don't have enough of these, as it is.
Let's talk after the show. Let's talk. I have a recommendation for you.
Okay, cool. I'm excited now. So in the world of politics, though, this is, you know, we talked about this really happy story. You know, joking around, everything.
Something about politics. I am talking, so you're editing.
They told Aiden if my microphone goes out, act like, you know, just tap your ear so we don't have to have a, you know, it doesn't show up on the podcast. And then she goes, something politics. That was very well done, Aiden.
You said that like if your microphone goes out while I'm talking, I should keep talking as a and then start tapping my headphones so that people won't realize that something's wrong. Your plan neglects the fact that I only know when your microphone goes out when you're talking.
Right. Yeah. That's what you like think on your feet, right? That's why I'm putting a lot of pressure on you. I know. So
get another microphone too.
I know my microphone's great. I need to figure out why my, so I will, I promise you listening audience, I will send a message to Zoom, this, week and hopefully they'll know what's going on. And by the way, if any of you tech heads know what's going on.
Yeah. Please. We've got some fucking nerds. Some absolute some real Poindexters listen to this show.
And we know that, you know, we say that with love. And
you might.
And so anyways, what I was saying was when my mic cut out, which it will probably do again, by the way. What I was saying was, you know, we started off with all this happiness and this joking around. And, you know, as the kids say, everything's Gucci. But yet I'm going to have to say something sad right now. We have lost one of our Democratic candidates.
No, not one of our beloved Democratic candidates, who every one of whom we love like a child.
A lot, right? And you might say, oh, it's got to be Marianne Williamson, who is just based on love. Or it might be Andrew Yang, who is, his tweets are mental right now.
Or John Hickenlooper.
No, never campaign. John Hickenlooper. That's gone too far.
His campaign staff quit en masse, and his campaign advisors are urging him to quit. Right.
Don't tell a Hickenlooper to quit. It'll only make them want to persevere. So it's none of those, though, that you would think might be quitting. Instead, it is the plastic-haired Eric Swalwell. R.I.P. Eric Swalwell.
You know how you were hoping that Andrew Yang would get to the first debates, and no, then...
We have to bring up the past.
Okay. Well, you're hoping Andrew Yang would get to the first debate and propose UBI and then drop out. That's what Eric Swalwell did with gun control. That is what Eric Swalwell did with gun control. Hey, he is the hero you were hoping for.
But you know what he also did? He also really, really told Joe Biden to suck it, old man. That's what he did. Oops, sorry. I had that keyed up for later. But I'm gonna bring up Andrew Yang's Twitter because some of his tweets.
I actually also brought up Andrew Yang's
Twitter. Oh my gosh, go team! So because he's really tweeted some odd shit lately. So what was the one that we hear? Let's go. I sometimes imagine this race without us in it, and it makes me glad to be running. Okay.
These aren't that bad. People with dyslexia often make great entrepreneurs. Their struggles in school often drive them toward different approaches to solving problems and making connections. Our neurodiversity should be celebrated, not discouraged. Haha, very funny.
You picked his best one. So not that they're like weird, it's that they just seem out of place. Like, does he have somebody like tweeting for him, like random quotes they find on, like, you know, Tumblr? Because if we mistake money for the worth of a person, we are lost. I say I ride my bicycle to work because it's faster and better exercise, but the truth is, it's a lot more fun.
I mean, it sounds like it's fun.
This just in, I'm in this for the long haul. I don't have another position to run for. This is the only one. I mean, technically, he could run for literally any other position because he has no political experience. So maybe a little bit of local political experience would do you some good. Andrew Yang, whose UBI is not what it seemed to be in the beginning, and we're all on to you, buddy. But Eric Swalwell's gone. So we have a moment of silence with my mic actually on for Eric Swalwell. All right, that's enough. So Eric Swalwell, he's not going to be in the next debate, but I don't – because they still have to make a cut money-wise, right? Like, they can't just – like, they don't just get to, like, trampoline off of the last one. So, like
– they need, like, a certain number of unique donations. And I know Tulsi Gabbard is struggling to meet that donation limit. I would like to see her in the next debate. I have been considering donating to her. But they need, like, a certain amount of money and then a certain number of unique donations. So they can't just get, like, a $100 million loan to themselves and call it good.
So will Marianne Williamson, do you think she's going to make the cut, or is she
– let me Google that right now.
Because, you know, Tulsi –
you're fixated on Marianne Williamson.
Obviously, because now Eric Swalwell's gone. So when you think about, though, Tulsi Gabbard, like, she really, if a Democrat wins the presidency, she really is a shoo-in for Secretary of Defense, wouldn't you think?
Marianne Williamson for Secretary
of Defense? No, Tulsi Gabbard. God. Oh, God, no. No, Marianne Williamson, the only thing she's a shoo-in for is to manage a local bookstore, used bookstore.
No, I actually just Googled Marianne Williamson. The first article that came up is from the Des Moines. What's that fucking place in Iowa? Des Moines.
Des Moines.
I'm not good at pronunciation. So the first article that comes up is from their local newspaper. It says Marianne Williamson's Iowa director joins John Delaney's 2020 campaign. I would never have guessed that somebody who works for Marianne Williamson would be like, nah, actually, John Delaney is where it's at. They're very different candidates. They are opposite candidates. And this one guy was like, Marianne Williamson's good, but John Delaney's where it's at.
But is there anybody with worse, like, taste in people and politicians than this man or woman, whoever it is?
It's his name is Brent Roski.
Oh, it's a Brent. Well, of
announced his this is from the Des Moines Register. Brent Rusk announced his switch between the two low polling campaigns a day after he told the Des Moines Register he had resigned from Williamson's campaign but offered no explanation.
So, sorry to our Iowa listeners from Des Moines. So he said, I'm going to jump from Marianne Williamson's to John Delaney.
And his reason is healthcare, because he thinks that John Delaney has the right idea on healthcare.
Oh my God. So
John Delaney, for those of you who might not have listened to other episodes, he's the fuckwad who is extremely opposed to any type of Medicare for All initiative, or basically any reform to the healthcare system. He was booed at the California Democratic Convention for saying really controversial shit about healthcare, and he is an extremely low polling candidate. Basically, no one wants to run except for this guy Brent
Russ
in Iowa,
in Des Moines. And so here's the thing, right? Is that actually, if you go back a few podcast episodes for the Conservationist Conversationalist, you will find that one of the episodes is titled Fuck You, John Delaney. And so that goes to show you kind of how we feel about John. Now, mind you,
You froze.
Oh, I did?
You froze.
Wow, this is glitchy today, everybody. But see, it's funny because you've actually froze on mine. But I know from last week that it still continues to record the audio, so we're okay. Sorry, everybody. But John Delaney aside and Marianne Williamson aside, the real true American pathway right now is John Hickenlooper. Everybody's telling him he can't do it, and he's saying, you know what? Middle finger to y'all. I'm going to show you for at least another couple weeks. And then September, he's probably going to be gone. But John Hickenlooper, we're gonna enjoy you until that day.
I feel like somebody has mentioned this before, and I didn't really take it seriously or process this as a real thing. But I did go to Marianne Williamson's 2020 website.
Yeah.
There's a petition that you can sign.
Oh boy.
I'm
afraid.
You can sign the petition to establish the U.S. Department of Peace.
Oof. Well,
It's better than you thought, but why is this your priority?
Here's what I thought she might do. I thought she might turn the Washington Monument into just a giant crystal.
No, the Washington Monument's too phallic. We can give it some more feminine energy.
Okay. And then it might, you know, I don't know all the things that with the moon and where it's at and all that stuff with the crystals, but I'm sure she would figure out something that would, you know, suddenly the stock markets would just go whoosh overnight. So Donald Trump, who happens to be our president, for those of you who have been away from the TV for a little bit and you came back and saw, wait a minute, this can't be right. This must be a terrible episode of, I don't know, Twilight Zone. So Donald Trump's president, and the other day he had his, well, the other day, on Independence Day, he had his July 4th extravaganza. You had everything you could possibly want, including thunder and lightning, which I think is part of the anthem. It's not, but he had, you know, his whole extravaganza. He had the pictures that were very well, good photographer, because they found the angles. It looked like that shit was packed. And then you saw the actual pictures, which it wasn't quite as packed.
This is the July parade. I zoned out during the very, very beginning of what you're saying, and I missed that context, and I was hoping I could piece it together from context clues.
Yes, this is what this is about. So the when you look at a lot of the pictures, like, here's the thing too. There's a lot of word from, you know, it's rumor and allegedly blah blah blah. But supposedly too, they were like rushing to hand out tickets to organizations as well, so they would be there, so they would look, so you had more people in the crowd. So, you know, Trump did his thing, right? And then you have the Reagan Battalion, who's on Twitter, and I'm sure if you've ever looked at Mega Twitter, you've seen the Reagan Battalion. And they tweeted a fake quote about the Reagan saying after he shook Trump's hands. There's a picture of Reagan shaking Trump's hands way, way back in the day, which Trump's not a big fan of shaking hands. So that's one thing. And so it says on there that Reagan had quoted basically, and this isn't the exact quote, but you'll get the picture. I'm paraphrasing Reagan. He's he said that he had basically said, I can't explain it, but when I shook his hand, I felt like I was the one shaking hands with the president. Now, that's not something I don't believe that any president would ever say, if I'm being honest, but that, and Reagan did not say it. That's a fake quote. But Trump didn't realize that. So you think him retweeting a fake quote would be the worst part, but he quote tweeted it, and with the caption, cute, exclamation mark. As if a child was, it was like a picture, it was like if it was a video of a child playing with a puppy dog, and he put, cute. What was cute? Like, how was he, I mean, can you imagine how demeaning that is actually, and by the way, this coming from a, you know, obviously I was born during the Reagan administration, shit. But I mean, I was a baby. But I mean, not a fan of Reagan's policies. And yet I'm sitting there going, what a demeaning way to speak of Reagan, to be like, cute. After, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. The Reagan Foundation, quick to say that Ronald Reagan did not say that. Never said that, you dumbass. So.
Not that it matters to Trump.
Mm-mm. Does not. But yeah, so that was Trump's, there's the video of it just pouring down rain, and, you know, and it just being absolutely awful weather in Washington, D.C. for his parade. Literally, it rained on his parade. And, you know, if that doesn't say something about Mother Nature, I do believe in our Mother Nature. And she said, fuck you, bitch. On
that
day.
She also said that to California, to be fair.
Well, okay, but we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about having Trump. It's setting the scene. So yeah, that was Trump's 4th of July extravaganza. I think there were no mimes, because those are French, and that's fucking ridiculous if you're an American. But I'm sure there were clowns.
No,
I think there were, you know, there was all the...
Why did you bring mimes up?
Because I felt like that would be a place you would have mimes, you know?
That Donald Trump's 4th of July parade with the tanks, there are also going to be mimes.
I feel like he thought it would be some sort of carnival sort of thing, except not carnival, because that would be French, so it'd be carnivals, and, you know, I don't know, it just seemed like a bunch of ridiculousness to me. And it's done now, and it's over. And that $2.5 million that was going to go towards the Parks Department is now gone to whatever the fuck was going on in Washington. So,
did you do anything fun for 4th of July?
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I?
You sound incredulous.
I was actually in a parade, and I hate parades.
What kind of parade were you in, please?
I was in the Blaine 4th of July parade. My friend Richard May, shout out Richard May, he's running for city council in Blaine. And
the city. Okay. Yeah. That was like a David Blaine parade.
The city of Blaine. Yes. Okay. The city of Blaine, Washington. It's right on the border of Canada. In fact, if you sneeze and fall backwards, you're in Canada. And so, Richard May, my friend running for city council up in Blaine, and he asked me, "Hey, Brandon, can you hold one of my signs in the parade?" And I said, you know, he's like, I felt like I owed him because he's like, he like took me to a Seahawks game and you know, and he's like,
you take Brandon to one Seahawks game and you're excited for life.
Right. So, yeah. So I said, "I'll help you out, Richard." And, I remember forgetting how much I hate parades. And not only did I have to be in a parade, that then I had to hold this sign up with his other friend. And we were holding it up above our shoulders because I think it would have been better to have one down below. But it was breezy because Blaine's on the water. So it's like there's a good breeze always coming through Blaine. And it was like a sail. So we're like, you know?
Please tell me there's a video. I desperately want to see
There's
that.
Not a video of me being sent backwards, but there is a video of me marching with the sign. Yes.
I want to see that too.
I'll send it to you. And okay. Coincidentally, my brother who works for a bank up here, he was also in the parade.
just completely independently.
Yeah, independently. And so that was the first part of my 4th of July. Then I went to a family barbecue and had some light life vegan bratwurst and played some like wiffle ball and then I watched some fireworks once you get to like the 33rd year of your life watching fireworks, like they kind of lose their luster, especially because I used to live next to a native reservation, and they set off a ton of fireworks. So every year you'd see them like all year round, or not year round, but all summer long. And so, you know, and which is great. A lot of people love them. For me, it's just like, I remember the doggos being like, yeah, fuck this.
I live right next to the Disneyland. So every night I'll hear fireworks and I'm like, oh, well, it's about 9:30 then. Cause that's when Disneyland sets off their fireworks. Brendan's audio went out again, so I think I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking to Brendan. I did cleverly tap my. Yeah.
So you live near Disneyland.
I live like 15 minutes away from Disneyland by
15?
Car. Probably be about like a 20 to 30 minute bus ride.
Are you one of those people? I don't know how we got here. Well, we've just totally pivoted from our conversation. But now I'm curious. Are you kind of the kind of person who is like, oh my gosh, Disneyland? Because
I went to Disneyland once when I was 7 years old, and I have not gone back.
Oh,
I technically went to Downtown Disney on like a trip for school, and it's just expensive food.
Yeah.
And like a park that costs hundreds of dollars to get in. There's people who will get Disneyland passes, and it'll be like one of their yearly expenses where they'll just buy a Disneyland annual pass, and then they get it every year. But I mean, like, I've never had one because, like, basically, it's just a pass to go spend more money, right?
How much is the pass, Steve? I don't even know.
Oh, let me check.
So yeah, because for me, it's like I've never been a Disney person, so it's crazy because my brother, his wife is a Disney fanatic. And like my cousin's fiance, she's a Disney fanatic, and they all get together and they talk about Disney, how much they love Disney. And I'm just like, I have never, like as a kid, of course, you know, my mom would buy us, you know, like Disney movies and whatever. But I watched them, but I've never been a Disney fan.
It's $400 a month.
What?
Or sorry, $400 a year.
Oh, a year.
Bad.
Oh,
wait, there's like a bajillion different options.
Okay.
The most expensive one is $1,400. Sorry, yeah, $1,400. Okay. Admission to the parks every day of the year. Visit both theme parks on the same day. Includes the Disney Max Pass feature. Oh, but it also has 50% off select dining.
Okay. So yeah, they get 50% off churros. And yes. Yeah.
And 10% off. So the $400 one, you get 10% off dining and 10% off merch.
Okay, 10% is like,
I mean, if you go a lot and you're going to spend that money anyways, like
that's true
not yeah. worth it. Never
mind. Yeah, because like a few of my friends, like they get like super excited like every time we get to go to Disneyland. You think like it would get tiring like after a while, like, oh, seeing the one thing, you know, how many times are you gonna see Space Mountain, right, or whatever they do on that. And but yet they every time, and they're like, they got pictures of them with the the fake princesses and the fake Mickeys and the
It's a pretty big park. It's a pretty big area. Yeah. There's like a lot of diversity. There's like teacup rides, but then there's like intense rides, and then there's like a lot of. Okay. And they'll have different event days, and then in addition to the actual park, there's like an eating area and like a downtown shit. I don't know. I went when I was seven, and I haven't got back.
Yeah. I'm weird because I haven't been on many rides in my lifetime. And I like I remember like the last two rides I can really remember would have been a mechanical bull shark, because obviously I love sharks, and there's a mechanical bull shark in Seaside, Oregon, and then there's a thing in Whistler called the West Coaster, and it's like a luge run down a hill, like a mountainside, but it's metal. And it's got sort of like a this little sled with wheels on it, and then you just like do like the luge thing down the.
It's on like an actual track, or are you
down an actual like metal track that has like curves like up and like to the side.
Okay, so it's like simulated luge.
Yeah, it's actually they have the this isn't the Olympic part of the park, but they had the Olympics years ago, and so they actually have a real bobsled and luge run that you can even go and do in the summer. Because a lot of people train on like the wheeled bobsleds, and it's like kind of simulating that on a smaller level. Like you're on like this sled, and you're sitting upright. You're not laying down like on a luge, but you're sitting upright, and you just like lean into the turns, and it's all really fun. I've been like on a Ferris wheel.
You've been on a Ferris wheel?
No, I've been on a Ferris wheel, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But I can't say that I think I've been on, like, one roller coaster, and it was not that big of one. It was, like, one of the – probably, like, in, like, the kids section when I was a little kid. Like, you know.
So fireworks, huh?
Fireworks, right?
Going back to the talk of, like, environmentalism, I mean, fireworks are, like, environmentally disastrous, will terrify your pets and wildlife, will, like, re-traumatize, like, veterans and people with PTSD related to gunshots. They're loud as fuck, and they happen so often. Like, and you see them a few times, you like get the gist, you know?
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah.
I don't get why people will go out and buy their own fireworks and then just like shoot them off in their backyard. Just go to the public event, like whatever. Like, if your community has a fireworks show, go to that.
Yeah, exactly. Or buy food instead.
Yeah, or just chill, or just go to bed early and have a great night's sleep. You know, full 9 hours.
I will say that if you do watch the newest season of Stranger Things, fireworks do have their place sometimes, but I don't want to give any spoilers away.
I will not be watching the new season of Stranger Things, but thank you for the recommendation.
That's disappointing, because...
I've watched the first season.
It's a great show.
It's a good show. It's fine.
Yeah. So, back on the subject of Trump. So, this is exciting, though. This is not Trump. This is exciting because it does involve him at the end of this. So, the USA, of course... captained by Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, and with this, you know, the rest of the crew, Ali Krieger and Kelly O'Hara, and go down the list of all these amazing, amazing women. And they won the World Cup. They beat Netherlands by a score of 2-0. And it was brilliant to see their Instagram stories afterwards, watching them celebrate. They were just having a blast. Somebody I think made the joke that USA lost to Mexico and Megan Rapinoe won the World Cup, so it was a terrible day for Trump. And Mexico beat USA in the Gold Cup, which was later on in the day. And
is it the Women's Cup or the Men's Cup?
That's men. So just for North America, Caribbean, Central America, and so Mexico beat us. And so Megan Rapinoe was actually on CNN. I'm going to look this up here while I talk. She was on CNN talking to Anderson Cooper, and they were talking about the World Cup win, talking about Donald Trump. And Anderson Cooper asked her, he said, "There's a good chance the president is watching this interview or will watch this interview. What is your message to the president?" And this is what she said.
I think that I would say that your message is excluding people. You're excluding me. You're excluding people that look like me. You're excluding people of color. You're excluding, you know, Americans that that maybe support you. I think that we need to have a reckoning with the message that you have and what you're saying about Make America Great Again. I think that you're harking back to an era that was not great for everyone. It might have been great for a few people, and maybe America is great for a few people right now, but it's not great for enough Americans in this world. And I think that we have a responsibility, each and every one of us. You have an incredible responsibility as, you know, the chief of this country, to take care of every single person, and you need to do better for everyone.
Now, she went on to talk about too how, hey, we do need to, we do love this country. People are trying to say that she doesn't love this country for the way she's spoken out. We love this country, and that's why we want it to be good. And it's funny because that was a very simple but yet effective response that she had to Anderson's question, and essentially a statement to the president. I think a lot of people wanted to hear some sort of, they thought she was going to come out with some sort of, you know, crazy rant against Trump, whatever. And instead, that's who Megan Rapinoe is. She was somebody who's backed, she's never backed down. She's had her opinion, so she wouldn't go to the White House. People made that out like she literally flipped him off on TV, and she didn't. She just very plainly said she would not go to the White House. She didn't believe in what he stood for. And that right there is proof that Megan Rapinoe, one, would probably make a better president. Would definitely make a better president than Trump. And I just think that just there's so many people have said, well, you know, we like what she has to say, but does she have to say it during the World Cup or whatever while she's representing her country? The truth is that what she's actually said was not all that much. She was just answering very simple questions, and I just could not be more proud of a team who, you know, it's amazing that people relate the national team because of the USA or when they see Olympics or whatever to the president. They're representing so much more than the president and so much more than the government. Yeah. And so I just couldn't be more proud of them, and the fact that they never did back down. They continued to just keep their foot on the gas in every way, socially, athletically, and I just think good on them for that.
Also, Megan Rapinoe's girlfriend is pretty hot.
Rae Sue Bird is gorgeous, and by the way, Kelly O'Hara, who she went to a. There's a picture of her. This is a kind of a funny thing on Twitter today, because somebody had put the headline underneath this picture of Kelly O'Hara kissing her girlfriend in the stands. They put Kelly O'Hara greets a fan, and the fan, quotation marks, has her hair, Kelly's face in her hands, and she's kissing her. People are like, they're like, yes, that was me. Yes, mom and dad. This is how I greet fans. You see how her girlfriend's looking at her, and you're like, yeah, that's the kind of love that we all want, actually, is her fan and her. You saw this, that was something that was actually brought up today, you know, all jokes aside, was that this was also a team that, you know, years ago, that would have been a giant thing, right? And that is the one thing where society, maybe not our government, but society has progressed, that this was not an issue. It was actually something, obviously, for me personally, and those of us who have not been living in the dark ages, we've always seen the beauty in it. But for a lot of people, you know, we all know there's still people who are living in the dark ages, and it was nice to see these people be able to celebrate, regardless of their sexuality, who their girlfriend, husband, boyfriend, wife was. And of course, a lot of people on the other side were quick to point out, wasn't she dating a guy? As if people don't date both genders.
Exactly.
So again, a lot of people still living back in the old days. So it was really, really great to see. Megan also tweeted, again, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, where she said, science is science. Gays are just better. She had a picture of her and her fellow gay players who are World Cup champions. So gotta love those girls. They're amazing. So could not be more. I went and I spent I don't even want to say how much. I spent a lot of money on championship gear afterward. I was just so stoked, so excited. So congratulations to the U.S. soccer team. We're not calling them anything about that, because that's what they are. So that was that. Now we move on to the rest of the summer. I sent you I sent you a link earlier on this week. And this is, you know, I don't want to bore our listeners all the time with, it seems like we're always, you know, fighting off the attacks from people who are anti-vegan. But this is a news story that's worth mentioning, that in Mississippi, They have banned vegetarian and vegan meat substitutes from using meat-related terms like bacon or meatballs because they're not bacon and they're not meatballs. They are fake. They're imposters. And yeah, and then but they also actually extended it not only to plant-based foods but also to lab-created meats as well as insect protein, which we are seeing more of.
Because I'm guessing that the reason for that legislation isn't to protect consumers, it's to
protect money.
It's just protect the industry. It's protect the actual cattle industry, you know?
Right. And that's been the thing. You know, we've talked about
because
it with
government should not be involved in private business unless it's more the private business I support, in which case I want the government all over this.
Right. You know, it's we've seen it obviously, you know, the people who have made, and it's funny because somebody even I forget who it was, somebody told me the other day, well, there's just no reason to call it almond milk. You and I have talked about this a million times. I'm like, are we still? Who the fuck cares?
Doesn't matter. Just call it. Then call it's an almond milk substitute. It's a milk substitute made of almonds. Just call it almond milk. It's faster.
The thing that's so ridiculous about that too is that it's not even almond milk. Isn't just a vegan thing. Some people are lactose intolerant and they want to know what would be milk substitutes for things. For crying out loud, people. I mean, I know that, but the crazy part is you're 100% right. Hit the nail on the head. Those of us who are smart know that this is an industry thing. But it actually, the people who hate vegans, they just eat it up. So then they start with that shit. Well, I don't think mayonnaise, if it doesn't have eggs, should be called mayonnaise because it's not really mayonnaise. Oh, Christ, what do you want it called? Like white dressing stuff that kind of resembles a very popular condiment that a lot of people put on their sandwiches. I mean, it's just eggless mayo. Fuck.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, I've mentioned this. I've said this before on the podcast, but I just want to say it again. Mm-hmm. I've said it many times. Like every time this topic comes up.
Is it tea?
It's the tea thing, which is, if you haven't listened to the show before, like, tea is a particular type of plant. There is one plant that is the tea plant. Any herbal infusion that is not made of the tea plant is not tea. Your lavender tea is not tea.
Right.
Chamomile tea is not tea. Chai tea, not tea, I think. Maybe it's just tea with spices. I don't know.
Like, no, chamomile's a plant.
Chamomile is a plant, but chai tea, I don't know.
Oh, chai tea, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, chai tea, I think it has like cinnamon and shit.
Spices, yeah.
Yeah. Most like things that you like most herbal teas or fruit. I drink fucking like an orange peel tea. I have a passion for tea. Like these are not tea, but we call them tea because it's faster than saying herbal infused water. Like
Right. And anyways, if we ever made t-shirts, we're making ones with your tea rant on them.
It's that fucking tea thing.
Yeah, I love it. That I would wear that t-shirt all the time. And so, I mean, and the meat thing is so weird because they call it Beyond Meat, right? They're like Beyond.
They make it very clear. It's
right. Yeah. And the burger is, you can call burger a burger. Like that's not, that doesn't, it doesn't say cow burger. It doesn't say, you know, like a burger can be made out of turkey, can be made out of like, they make tons of steak or buffalo burgers, whatever. Tons of different things that those weird ass carnivores like to eat. And so I could call a patty made of whatever vegetable makeup there is in it, you know, pea protein, whatever, soy. I can call it a fucking burger if I want to. And so can anybody else. The and you know, meatballs, they usually even make a point to like have it be meat balls or
cheese is a vegan cheese is like cheeze or something.
Chicken is usually chik or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, why do they care so much? It's like again, you see those, it's just like the things that you see on Facebook where it's like, oh, you vegans, you think you're so good. Well, do you know what palm oil does? Well, yes, we do, for fuck's sake. We know we're not perfect. Just because PETA can be virtue signalers at times, which, by the way, that's another, I love to use that insult against us. Oh, vegans are virtue signalers. But the thing is that, look, if they would come to me with an argument that says, yes, you know what, and the fact that we eat meat and also eat those palm products, which I try to stay away from, by the way.
Yeah, most vegans that are vegan for environmental or ethical reasons also have some level of awareness of like other things that are impacting our environment.
Right, but like if they would tell me, and this is why I'm doing better for the environment than you, instead of just, I don't care what the fuck I do for the environment, but I don't want you to think you're doing as good as you think you are, then I would be like, okay, let's have an argument. But instead, we said this, but they're just saying over and over again, you're not as good as you think you are, but we're still shittier than you, but they leave out that last part.
Yeah. I was in a friend's stream, live stream the other day, and there was this dude that they were having a discussion of veganism on stream, just between them. And there was this guy in this chat who was just like repeating all the old like anti-vegan shit that you hear all the time, including my favorite, which is like he was going off and like just like talking like about this. Like would not let it go and would just like kept berating the vegans who were on the stream talking about their lives. He kept being like repeating the same basic phrases. And then he said like, how do you know that a vegan like how do you know that a person's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you. And it's like, do you not hear yourself? The conversation on the stream started because one of the hosts who is not a vegan said I think I heard you guys are vegan one time. Let's talk about that. Like, they didn't volunteer that. They just happened to be in a conversation about it. And then this dude in the chat was kept talking about how great bacon is and making everything he said was like, fuck vegans, like meat's awesome, fuck you. And then like, and then he says, and also like vegans talk too much about being vegan. It's like, do you not hear yourself, you dumb bitch?
Because like the first thing they will say repeatedly is about, but bacon.
Yeah, and it's like, people who complain about how vegans talk too much about being vegan do not hear themselves talk about eating meat. Like, and also, like, this is more generally, and also, for people who might be new, Brandon and I don't talk about being vegan much outside of this podcast. This
right, is yeah, it's like our, this is our so soundboard.
Here. Yeah. This is what you walked into, I'm sorry. but not sorry. I hate when people are like, oh, so-and-so's talking too much about this thing. Or, like, I hate when people have a kid and then the only thing that they can talk about is, like, the fact that they have a kid. Or, like, I hate when people, like, get married and the only thing they can talk about is, like, their wedding. Or I hate people who do CrossFit because, like, all they talk about is CrossFit.
Right.
Like, and all of these things are things that have a serious impact on somebody's life. It takes up a lot of mental energy, a lot of mental space, a lot of time. It's a big part of their life. So it's going to be a big part of what they want to talk about because that's how people fucking work in conversations. They talk about the things that are impacting them. And if they're constantly being impacted by the fact that they have a kid, which is a big deal, it's going to be a lot of what they want to talk to people about. And the fact that you're all like, oh, you're talking too much about this. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah. You know? It's like, what do you want them to talk about? Do you want them to like come up with something?
I would like you to ignore like what's going on in your life and only talk about the things that impact me. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed. Sorry. I just got really
No, tired. But I mean, but and yeah, again, going back to what you said about, you know, the truth is that I would say that you and I probably could both say, obviously we know more people who are not vegans than we do know vegans.
Yeah.
And so it's not, I don't talk about this much outside of the podcast because really my mom is the only person that I know like immediately who is vegan, really, well, besides you as well. And so I don't, and I'm always, I always, like we said, I always try to be the person who, instead of having people acquiesce to my diet, I try to acquiesce to theirs and say, look, when you want to go to some, you know, have a barbecue or go some, just look at, I'll bring whatever I need to bring. Don't worry about it. And I can, you know, make it up the way I need to. I don't want you to have any extra worry. Now, there are a lot of good people, even who are not vegans, who will usually.
There are people who will still get pissed when vegans do that, though. Like, there are people who will be like, there are people who will simultaneously be like, oh, vegans shouldn't like.
Push their views.
Shouldn't like ask like if they go to a barbecue, they shouldn't ask for vegan options. That's like pushy in a way. But then if a vegan brings their own like stuff
right.
to like eat, then they'll be like, oh my god, that's so annoying. Like, why do you have to be like so? It's like you just don't like veganism as a concept. Right. You just don't like it. You have just admit the fact that you have a visceral negative reaction to the concept of veganism and stop trying to externalize the issue and act like vegans are doing something wrong when they're not. And people be like, oh, like a few, like some vegans are like annoying about it. And it's like, meat eaters are annoying about everything all the time. Like, and I keep my chill 99% of the time, except when I do this podcast, when I start screaming at my co-hosts in the world. Like, I keep my chill. Just find all of that, and like a maybe a couple vegans, like a normal percentage of the population of vegans, like can be annoying sometimes to you. Like you, dissonance up the ass. Sorry, what are you saying?
Well, no, no, you're exactly right. And because the most of the people, like before you were a co-host on here, I used to have some people on who were like either vegan bloggers and whatever, right? And they were always the most like pragmatic thinkers in the way of, look, we're just trying to hope that people try to, you know, do their best, right? And we'd love for people made the full change, but you know, we try to ease them into it. We're not going all crazy with the what we bring to a get together or whatever. We try to, you know, go, oh, here's a dessert that we just made vegan. It's still a junk food or whatever, you know, so we're not like trying to shove, you know, quinoa on them or whatever, because that's the worst, right? And quinoa so sucks. But you know, and what was that?
Quinoa sucks.
I do like quinoa. But then you do have your very few, of course, who even I come across and I go, guys, you're not doing anything good for us. Like, you know, cause I mean, whenever you hear something where somebody goes way overboard and you go, and it's not that they're really doing anything that bad. It's just that, you know, that meat eaters are going to catch wind of it. And suddenly, you know, that Thanksgiving dinner is going to become, oh, are we, yeah, I remember when PETA did their whole, can't say these phrases that involve animals. And which was just like so unnecessary. And I that then becomes the joke. Are we allowed to say that now around you? Go for it. I don't give a fuck. Like, honestly, I you know, I mean, it's like, so I mean, that's usually the thing, is because you look at it and go, okay, yes, now that's a question that we're going to get. And it's going to be a joke that's going to be made. You know, I mean, when it comes to these, and these things are obviously industry, and this is what they create, right? They create now the fact that the people who aren't vegans, they use it as a tactic against vegans. The vegans get frustrated. And because they're usually like you and myself, who don't talk about it much outside of this podcast, they then get, you know, they let loose like we are and right now. And at the end of the day, it's just stupid industry bullshit. You know, I mean, because for the most part, I mean, I've seen big time meat eaters who have tried out these foods and they've gone, wow, actually, I'm surprised. You know, that's actually pretty good. And that's the story. Those are the stories that really are great, because that means we're making progress somewhere. I mean, cause the joke's going to be on them one day when, you know, when they either have to choose between lab created meat or veganism. You know, or at least it's going to be closer that way, because it's going to get expensive to do it the other way. But, I read stories like that and I go, you know what? This is just, I mean, we try so hard, and like, we're not even telling people to be vegan. We just want these products that might open up a world to not even somebody who's going to be vegan, but just to be a little bit better. And these stories create a further divide, because the corporations out there and the industries who are, you know, rich pigs, they will continue to drive that spike between, you know, the two sides. And it's unfortunate, because it doesn't, it's just when you try so hard and you just realize this fight is a uphill battle on so many different, in so many different ways, not just the vegans versus non-vegans fight, just all of these things, all these arguments that are divisive. And the fact that whether it be something spiritual, whether it be something, you know, food wise in this case, or whether it be that that somebody has to put that seed of doubt into one head, and suddenly there's, you know, but anyways, well, I think we got that off our chest.
Yeah, and now I'm looking up, because I know that Del Taco, so speaking of the fake meat thing, they Del Taco, which is the a Tex-Mex chain, debuted to Beyond Meat Tacos, or Beyond Taco. There was a Beyond Taco and a Beyond Taco that's vegetarian, that has cheddar cheese in it, and then the Beyond Avocado Taco, which is the same thing but with cheddar cheese swapped for a slice of avocado.
A&W in Canada, they serve Beyond Impossible or Beyond, one of those. So, you know, places around the world are they are trying. I laughed because I was thinking to myself earlier, McDonald's has this whole thing right now where they're doing foreign items that you can now get in the USA for a limited amount of time. So like Stroopwafel, McFlurry, which is like from Netherlands, and then Canada's, I think, is like a maple syrup chicken. I don't know what the hell it is. Anyways, and so I thought to myself, I wonder what the other countries are doing for the U.S. And I thought, oh, that's right. They're probably saying, and these hamburgers have antibiotics in them for a limited amount of time. It's the U.S. burger from in our McDonald's. But yeah. So the, and of course, you know, Burger King is another one of those who is going to go, they're going to have a vegan option on all their menus as well. I have no interest in eating at a fast food place like that, but great that they're at least doing that for people who might.
I like Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, and you can get vegan options actually at Taco Bell. That's something yeah. that a lot of people don't know.
Basically impossible to get stuff at Taco Bell that's both vegan and gluten-free, which is where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. But
it's all good. Vegan, yeah. So that's that. Are we ready to give our good things we saw on the internet this week? Because guess what? Mine is going to continue on the vegan train. So everybody, prepare yourselves.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so mine is actually a good thing, though, at the end of the day. Jaden Smith, who is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's
son. Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, he has started a vegan food truck where he's giving free food to homeless people. Good for you, Jaden. I thought that was amazing. That was awesome. He's put, you know, using his platform to do something great. That was a good thing I saw on the internet this week. Of course, it doesn't have to be on the internet. You can just the good thing you saw this week. Are you still looking for yours, or do you have one?
I have it. I'll explain in a second.
Well, I'll say while you're looking, because I was gonna say this is another good thing that happened that wasn't the one I had set up, but I will say the Southern Resident Orcas, which we talk about very frequently here on the podcast, they were gone for the longest time that they've ever been away from the Salish Sea here in the summer especially, and they returned this past week. They have a little baby who we didn't know that they did see a baby. I think back when they were either in Monterey, I forget, but where they first spotted the baby. But she actually breached out of the water, and they're able to see that she is it's a she. And little baby, adorable. And so they're back in the Pacific Northwest. They've been around Vancouver Island and the San Juan Islands this past week. And actually, I went to Whidbey Island today to go take a run to kind of, you know, clear my head, right? And took a run down there, and I missed the big transient whales, orcas, that were there about 5 hours before I got there, and did not see any, but it was still a beautiful run. And I saw a bald eagle who was like, I think it was a little bit wet out. He must have gone and caught something in the water, because they were, his wings were like out getting dried off. He was like drying them off, and it was crazy. I'd never seen it. It's huge, just a huge, huge bald eagle. And but no whales. Hopefully soon. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, that's very nice. And I was definitely listening very intently the whole thing.
It's for the listeners.
And I was definitely not on namecheap.com to buy a domain name for my personal website, because the thing that I was gonna talk about. Mm-hmm. I started working on designing a website for my like portfolio and shit in Squarespace, and I started doing it, and I almost immediately realized that I'm fucking sick of all of these clean ass, sleek, modern websites that have like everything neatly organized, and like you can scroll down the page and see that every like you can click the tabs at the bottom, but you can click the tabs at the top, but then if you click a tab at the top, it just goes down somewhere further in the main page. There's like you can't click out of the main page. It's just all the information's very clean on there. It's very basic. It's very
boring. You miss the days of like GeoCities and Angel Fire.
I'm gonna look that up right now.
You don't know what that is, do you?
GeoCities and Angel Fire. I miss the days of Neopets, of like HTML websites. HTML websites that are like treasure troves where you can like dive into it and discover things.
Yeah. Not just like picture like you know, picture.
Yeah, it's, and all these fucking big ass pictures. Like, I don't care. I want the ugly fonts and the fun little animation, maybe a little flash game. So I'm gonna go all out with my website.
Flash game, yes!
Yeah, but like, or maybe not, or like a little like animated text and sparkles, and maybe the cursor will be like a little unicorn. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but it'll be funny, and this will be my actual professional website that I will put on business cards. I am very excited about this. This is an idea that I had while I was signing up for Squarespace. So thank you, Squarespace, for this great idea. Anyways, So I was thinking about that, and then I started thinking about or trying to think of some websites that I would take inspiration from. A couple of the ones are the Captain Marvel website. Like, I don't know if you watched the Captain Marvel movie.
I did.
Have you seen the website?
No.
You should go to Captain Marvel. Go to the Captain Marvel website.
Go to Captain Marvel. I'm gonna do that while you're talking.
Yeah, and the reason that I was talking while Brandon was talking, or like I was distracted while Brandon was talking about his Orca thing, is because I realized I need to buy my website now before this episode goes live, because I don't want anybody to take aidenwood.com, AIDANWOULD. There won't be anything there yet.
So don't take it, because now we'll know who you are if you do that. Yes, I mean, we won't actually, but but we'll know that it was one of you.
And then I guess I don't know 100% what website hosting is or how I should pick a good website host, but I'll just get it from Namecheap.com because it's $3 a month.
Yeah, that means better than going through GoDaddy, who's just shitty, which is where, well, I have one of mine from. So CaptainMarvel.com, right?
Yeah, Captain Marvel. I don't know if it's CaptainMarvel.com. Just like look up Captain Marvel and then click on whatever the website, the official website is for the movie.
I think it's coming up. My computer is so slow right now. I think I have to it's because I have all these shows like still on. I need to get like an external hard drive.
All of your tech is so fucking jank, dude.
I think it's like starting to like go, okay, you have too much shit on this computer now. Not to mention I have so many tabs open for my day job that it's like probably the memory is like, okay, enough of this. So is the good thing that you've seen Captain Marvel's website?
The good thing is Captain Marvel's website. I also want to point you in the direction of KleinBottle.com. And for those of you listening at home, assuming you're not driving or operating other forms of heavy machinery, or maybe in the middle of sex or something, don't get distracted by looking up the Captain Marvel website during sex. You should focus on your partner and their pleasure. But if you're like
consenting to both wanting to look up the Captain Marvel website while having sex.
Yes. And also presumably you shouldn't be listening to this podcast while you're having sex.
I'm not against it.
I'm okay with it. I just feel like there's sexier things you can probably listen to podcast wise, you know?
We could start doing ASMR, like we'll just do it all like really, really quiet and
we'll get a professional ASMR mic. but yeah, so if you're not operating heavy machinery, possibly in the middle of some very intense life making, go to KleinBottle.com. That's KLEIN bottle. That's BOTTLE. You know how to spell bottle. .com. And just explore that site for a bit. If you like mathematics and nerdiness and if you're like into the cute absent-minded professor type, you will fucking love this site.
Okay, and that's KleinBottle.com. I can try to put that in the description as well for people to go. I don't know why my computer, so it loaded, I looked up Captain Marvel on Google and it loaded that totally fine. Then when I type in CaptainMarvel.com, it just shows like the logo in the tab, but the screen is just blank. So I'm going to go to KleinBottle now.
Marvel.com/CaptainMarvel.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I wonder if that'll help. But I'm going to go to KleinBottle.com now to see what this is like. Did I spell Klein? Is it K-L-E-I-N?
Yes.
Bottle. Oh, I see. So this is like, this is like back in the day when we would have like Angel Fire and GeoCities websites, Yahoo websites, and then there would be some like little spinning GIF in the like bottom corner that's like, contact us. Or
I just sent you the Captain Marvel website in chat. That's marvel.com/Captain Marvel. If you are listening while not operating heavy machinery or engaging just some hot and heavy sexual intercourse.
I hope that at least a few of the listeners who maybe couples who are listening were like, oh man, after listening to this though now, that's what we're gonna do. Because now we
gotta put these ideas in people's heads.
Fucking horny as hell. Okay, so it's opened up. So I clicked on your link that you sent me. And it's opening up in what is the new Internet Explorer? What is it called now?
Edge. Microsoft Edge.
Microsoft Edge, which is like, I didn't realize until today. I was today years old when I realized that they have Microsoft Edge. I'm sorry to everybody who I should know that. But yeah. So I was like, oh my God, there's now a Microsoft Edge. So Internet Explorer is like essentially retired, right?
I guess.
Why is it that my computer won't bring this website up? Like even in Microsoft Edge.
It's probably just too cool for you. It's probably just okay. I'm gonna do some screen sharing.
That's harsh. Yeah. So there it goes.
You got it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So just because it probably was a lot.
It's good, right?
That is so great. It's good. Oh, and it's got music.
It's a good website, guys. It does have music.
It's got. I'm like, what is that? It's got music.
And that's a website that you could explore a bit. There's Easter eggs. There's games. It's very good.
Oh, that is awesome. That is really, really great.
So that's one of my inspirations. And then KleinBottle.com is another one of my inspirations. If you guys have more, if you guys look up those websites and then let me know through Twitter or email if you have any other recommendations for me to check out as inspiration for my amazing, beautiful, awesome website, which I am purchasing right now.
It's got a viewer count on it. Remember that from back when people used to put the viewer count, like, you know, the bar that said how many people have seen your site?
How many people have seen the site?
It's like 1 million something or 13 million or something on Captain Marvel. But I remember I used to have that because I used to have a photography business. Here we are. This is the 12th hour, by the 13th, whatever the hell they say, for the podcast where everybody's like, okay, why do you do this at the end of the podcast? Because this is what happens. We just start talking about random shit. So I used to have a website for my photography business. So I used to be like a sports photographer. And I say sports photographer, really, I just used to photograph horse jumping events in my area. And so I used to have a website for my photography.
That's so Washington.
Right? And so I used to have a website for it, and it was on Yahoo, and I used to have this like view counter as if people were coming to see it. I was like, oh, I got a view today. Somebody came by my site. Yeah. And those were the days, man. Those were the days when like I would get like $12 for an 8x10 photo and I'd be like, fuck yes, I'm rich. You know? And now $12 is like
if somebody paid me $12 for like
$12 for dinner. You know? Like it was good dinner, but although tonight I didn't. Tonight I have to say again, I'm spoiled. The other day when I saw my mom, she gave me vegan scalloped potatoes, and so I had scalloped potatoes tonight. Yeah, when I got home from my run, and I'm probably after this, I'm probably gonna have some spring rolls, as if any of you care. So we should probably let everybody off the hook now, since they've listened to this. And
They've already stopped listening.
Well, for those of you who are still listening, AKA my mother, this show is now concluding. But before we do sign off officially, you know, you guys have probably heard, I've got the Lemonade Magazine podcast. You can listen to interviews with musicians and artists. No politics for the most part, but sometimes it sneaks in there. And but if you want, you know, a reprieve away from what we talk about, and very rarely veganism until I have a vegan artist that comes on, and then we go fucking batshit. Which has happened a few times. Shout out to my friend Kara Connolly. Aiden also, her podcast, by the way, that's a Lemonade Magazine podcast. The link is in the description. Aiden's podcast, Dibs, Welcome to the Family, is coming back off of hiatus. She spent, I believe it was 500 hours. On this episode, I said
about 20 to 25 hours, but it's
did
still
not
long.
Get her 7 to 9 hours of sleep, which is recommended by the CDC.
That's a good and, tie back. Bookends, right?
So I know, right? That's comedy gold is what we call it. And so there can we have the link always in the description. But you're gonna have your first episode back from hiatus. I think you've talked about it a few times. Let's give one more quick little summary of what they can expect from this next episode.
Yeah, though the next episode of Dibs, which is a podcast about the reproductive health industry, specifically people who are conceived via sperm donation and egg donation. It's about this next episode we talk about a notorious sperm bank that was basically a eugenics project that wanted to populate the world with genius sperm. You may have heard of this. So we talk about that sperm bank. I interview one of the offspring who was conceived through that sperm bank, which shut down in the 90s, very controversially. Wow. Yeah, we talk about how controversial it was and why it shut down. So we talk about that. We talk about the offspring's experience with schizophrenia, which his genius father like had and passed on to several of his biological kids, and his narcissism. We talk about, this person is in the process of enacting legislation to reform the reproductive health industry. So we talk about this legislative battle that he's starting. It's very intense.
By the way, I'm not joking when I had that reaction. I didn't know that's what the next episode is about. I'm genuinely like, what the fuck? I didn't know that. I actually can't wait to listen to this one. So that's Dibs Welcome to the Family. And Dibs Welcome to the Family is getting pretty cray cray, actually, from the sounds of it.
This next episode is going to be intense.
Yeah. As they say, like campers.
The past couple days, I've written like 5 pages of voiceover that I have to record tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. So you're not like me on the Lemonade Podcast who just wings it. And then I like go back, delete,
or record, this podcast.
no, this takes winging it to a whole new level.
I honestly don't even think of this as a podcast that people listen to. This is just like my weekly vent sesh with Brandon. Yeah.
No, it's great though, because there used to be, here we go, we're supposed to end this, but there used to be this show, actually it's still on, I think, called Devil's Advocate, where it's just like a group of guys who are, I think they're all mostly liberals. But there's like a few guys who are like, we'll play the other side a bit. And this is basically what they do on that radio show. And that's what I've always wanted this show to kind of be like, is that we just do this shit because it's fun and some people enjoy it. And to those of you who do, we love you. But now we will let you go officially. And even though you could have, you know, you probably did hit stop like Aiden said, and unless you're OCD like me and has to listen to it till the end. Everybody have a great, great week. And again, make sure that you pour one out for the homie Eric Swalwell, who is, gone but not forgotten when it comes to the Democratic presidential race. That's where we'll leave this podcast. And I want to remind everybody, as Aiden would say, and as I would say, stay dope, and we'll be back.